Hey, welcome back everyone to the channel, Campfire Tales, and tonight's story is pretty self-explanatory from the title and the thumbnail about why these group of kids, adults, will never go camping again. Not RV camping. I'm talking about legit, real, on-the-ground tent camping. The real deal. A man's camping. Anyways, subscribe to the channel if you're new, leave a comment, click that thumbs up, and enjoy tonight's story. I'm never going camping again. 3 years ago, my friend group decided to go on a camping trip. Not just going on an RV park and chilling kind of camping, but a proper tent and campfire trip. See, I'm a chronic clamper. If given the choice between roughing it out in the wild and chilling in an air-conditioned RV, I'm picking the RV every time. I enjoy my creature comforts, and I always have. Jake, one of the other guys that runs in our little group, prides himself on being a true outdoorsman. As our group usually ends up taking trips to nearby lakes and national parks, it's become a bit of a strain between the two of us. It would be one thing if he could just respect that I'm not here to have the authentic experience and just want to have fun, but he can't. He needles and mutters about how they could all be going to cooler places if only we didn't have to always glamp to get out of the damn house. I think that's why I accepted his trip proposal. Normally I'd shut it down without question, but he had been getting on my nerves for years. I accepted, thinking I could prove once and for all that I could do it the rough and tough way. Maybe then he would just leave me the hell alone. Jake planned out a trip for us and our two other friends to a nearby lake on his family's property. When we arrived, I tried to ask where exactly in there we were going, but he just smirked.
"Relax, Maddie. The trail's marked. Even you won't get lost."
Behind me, Chris and Luke, the other two coming with us, started up a conversation about s'mores and the supposed lake at the place we're going to. I felt my shoulders relax. Jake pulled out a compass and led us due north. According to him, we had to follow a compass a little ways until we found some trees he and his family had marked with red triangles. From there, you follow the path. The sun was going down by the time we spotted the first red triangle. I checked my phone, which said it was about 7:30. I also checked my signal. Nothing. The pack straps were digging into my shoulders, and Luke was huffing as he trudged behind Chris and me. Funny. Despite the fact that Luke was obviously the least capable of us, it's still me that Jake likes to piss on. "Jake!" I called out. He paused and turned to me, a familiar, irritated expression on his face. "Can we pause for a minute? I gotta take a piss." I didn't mention that Luke looked like he was ready to puke, but he seemed to see it anyways when he looked at him. Jake huffed.
"Don't get lost. I want to get to our site so we could get set up."
I dropped my pack to the ground and started walking off the trail some. I could hear Luke wheezing behind me, obviously tired from the trek. The woods were quiet as I broke from the trail. I listened around for the birds or crickets, but it was dead silent. I glanced over my shoulder, making sure I was far enough away, and relieved myself. I zipped up and began to turn back when a branch cracked behind me. My head snapped back in the direction of the noise, but there was nothing. I turned and began walking back, and the crunching of leaves started behind me. I stopped, and so did the noise. It was my own footsteps. It had to be. But I started again, faster this time, and nearly broke into a run when the crunching just seemed to get louder and louder. I busted through the tree line, hitting the trail and whirling around to see what had been on my heels. Nothing. I stared out of the forest, waiting. There wasn't even a rustle of leaves from the wind, just silence. "Matt, let's go," Chris called, breaking my staring contest with the empty trees. I turned and jogged up the trail to catch up with them. As I picked my pack up off the ground, I couldn't stop myself from asking, "Did you guys hear that?" They all turned to look at me.
"Hear what?"
Luke answered. I couldn't quite bring myself to spit it out. After all, what had I heard? Leaves crunching when I walked? I shook my head. Jake continued to lead us towards the campsite, the red triangles leading us ever onwards. I looked at them closer as we passed. They were spray painted on, with each tree being marked on both sides so that they could be seen no matter what direction you were coming from. Each marker was about 5 meters apart, and at any given time, you could see the next few up ahead. The sun was nearly set when we broke through to the spot by the lake. I had to hand it to the bastard. The sight was beautiful. The trees all stood in glorious formation, shades of green mottled with the golden light of the sunset. The water shined a slightly muddy blue-gray, peppered with that same golden light stretching through the trees. We each picked a spot to pitch our tents. Luke and I got put on tent duty, while Chris and Jake, our two more experienced outdoorsmen, went out to find some good sticks for firewood. As I finished getting my tent set up, I glanced over at Luke. He was struggling to get the stakes into the ground. I sighed, turning to help. We got his tent pitched and worked together to get the other two up. As we were finishing up with Chris's tent, the other two came back. I could see Jake looking over at his tent, probably ready to find something to criticize me on. I was proud when he couldn't find anything. Chris and Jake threw some of the wood into the spot we had designated as our fire pit, putting the rest of it close by for later use. They got the fire started and we all idly chatted as the sun sank beneath the hills. Luke got up and brought his backpack over. As he unzipped the pack and reached in, I smiled. Hershey's chocolate bars, a box of graham crackers, giant fluffy marshmallows. I glanced over and saw my grin mirrored on Chris's face. Jake rolled his eyes, but obligingly got up to grab some sticks to roast the marshmallows on. We gorged ourselves on granola bars and s'mores as the world around us turned black. "Hey, Matt!" Chris started. I looked at him, mouth and hands sticky with melted sugar. "Earlier today when you ran off to take a piss, what was that all about?" I looked at him puzzled. "You ran out of there like a bat out of hell. Then you were all, 'Did you guys hear that?'" He pitched his voice up and my eyes twitched. He grinned goofily at me. I didn't quite know what to say. I didn't want to scare Luke, who was looking a bit nervous, and I still wasn't convinced I hadn't made the whole thing up. I thought I heard something behind me. I settled on. Branch snapped kind of loud and it freaked me out. Jake snorted.
Really? All that fuss over a branch cracking in the woods?
Yeah, I know. That's why I dropped it. It wasn't much. Chris and Luke exchanged a look, seeming to sense that wasn't quite it. But Jake snickered at my foolishness, and neither quite seemed like they wanted to press. We all went to bed after putting the fire out. I tossed and turned some, but overall, the night passed on without incident. In the morning, we all woke up to the sound of Jake hollering that if we wanted to fish, now was the time before it got too hot. The lake was a blast. We sat around fishing for a while, chatting as the sun rose up in the sky. The fish were particularly hesitant to bite, but as Chris launched into a story, I found myself having a good time anyways. We scrambled some eggs that we had brought along in Jake's fancy cooler over the fire when we got too hungry. I considered asking him if bringing food in was cheating, but it wasn't worth the fight. At about noon, we started swimming. The water was nice and warm from the summer heat, and I spent a good chunk of time just floating and soaking up the sun. That, of course, was ruined when Luke snuck up on me underwater and grabbed around my gut, flipping me over and giving me a nose full of lake water. We splashed around for a good long while. The thing that drove us back to shore was our grumbling stomachs. Luke and I were chatting excitedly about finding some good sticks for roasting the hot dogs we had brought along when I ran straight into Chris's back.
Whoa, Chris, dude, what's...
I paused. Chris and Jake were just staring towards our campsite. I followed their gaze. Plastic littered the ground. All the meat we had brought with us had been torn out of its packages and was gone, leaving only the wrappers behind. Luke's tent, which had the marshmallows and chocolate, had its flap shredded. The flap was still zipped up closed, but the middle was gaping like an open wound. My blood ran cold. Luke had caught up and was looking as nervous as me. Even Jake looked shaken.
I mean, we are in bear territory.
I tried to reason.
Guess we should have locked down the food a little better.
Jake looked pissed.
You didn't think I planned for that? No damn bear is getting into these containers. I don't even know why they would. The meat's all packaged.
They say bears are pretty smart. Maybe they...
Luke tried.
That cooler had a lock on it no bear could undo. I'd have to bust the damn thing open.
The silence weighed heavily on us as we looked at the cooler. The nice, shiny, pristine cooler.
Maybe we should head back. I mean, we don't have any food left.
Luke suggested nervously. I looked up to the sky. The sun was still relatively high, but it was rapidly sinking down. It'd be dark by the time we made it back to our cars. Then I looked over at Luke's tent. I stared at the shredded door, the carefully opened backpack. What was worse? Risking getting lost in the woods, or risking staying? That wasn't a real choice, and I knew it.
Let's get our stuff packed up and let's go. We have our heavy-duty flashlights,
I said. Chris and Luke didn't need any convincing. They hustled to get their tents taken down and their stuff ready. Jake looked hesitant.
I don't think leaving now is a good idea. It's...
He checked his watch.
Already 5:30. By the time we get back...
It'll be dark, I know. I agreed. But it's either that or staying here for another night.
He huffed and started getting his stuff together. My tent came down easy enough, and I had all my stuff packed quick. When I shrugged on my backpack and turned to the other guys, I could see Jake stomping out the fire embers and grabbing his compass.
"Everyone got their lights?" he said, bad mood evident.
Chris and Luke nodded, although Luke looked vaguely ill at the thought of navigating by flashlight. I wasn't faring much better. We all started back the way we came in. Jake took the lead, following the trail markers. Luke followed close behind him. Chris and I took up the rear, keeping pace beside each other.
"You think it was a bear?" he asked.
I shrugged. "Don't know. Never actually had an encounter with one."
"I have," he said.
"Dad and I went camping when I was a kid. Family next to us on the grounds didn't properly store up their trash."
"You saw it?"
"Sure did. Black bear. Ugly thing. Spawned a whole lecture from my dad about how to properly store food and trash so you don't attract them."
He paused.
"Not gonna lie to you, Matt. I don't think this was a bear." I waited for him to elaborate, but he just looked at the cooler Jake was carrying.
"We followed all the safety precautions."
"Not just that. We were pretty damn close to the shore. Splashing and running around, just lots of noise. Bears don't like noise."
"Jake, which way do we go?"
Luke called, interrupting our silent musing. I looked up from my feet, confused. The spray-painted red triangle was visible on the tree ahead of us. Jake paused.
"What way do we..."
He glanced around. I took the opportunity to do the same. Luke was practically bouncing from foot to foot in his eagerness to go.
"Where's the other path go off to? Another part of the lake?"
he asked, giving a nervous laugh. Jake wasn't laughing, though. In fact, he was turning an alarming shade of white. I could feel his sudden fear radiating off of him. I was starting to match it. Beyond the tree with our marker, I could distinctly see two paths marked in the same fashion. One veered off slightly to the left, and the other veered off slightly to the right. The marker was dead center. We had to choose a path.
"Jake, which one goes to our cars?" I asked.
It was a testament to how stunned he was that he didn't tear me a new one over for questioning him. There'd only been one path coming up, and it was straight as an arrow. We hadn't even taken a little sidestep, just had marched straight through the woods. Neither of these paths went straight forward like we had when we came up.
"So, what was this? A whole new split complete with the line of markers for a path that wouldn't take us back to our cars?"
"Jake, you and your family put these markers up, right? Which way do we go?"
I asked, urgency creeping in my voice.
I don't know," he said, his voice cracking. "We never really went out from the path. We definitely didn't make a new path, and we wouldn't have marked it with the same damn markers."
I looked up again. The sun had crept further down, painting the sky with the faint shade of orange. We were getting closer and closer to sunset.
"Jake, are you sure we're going the right way?"
Chris asked. I turned to see him and Luke huddled together behind us.
"Yes, we go right. Ignore the damn markers on the left. We go right."
"How do we know, though? I mean, those aren't the same markers we followed, right? There was only one path coming up,"
Chris nervously asked. Jake let out a frustrated huff.
He slung his backpack to the ground and walked over to a tree with some low-hanging branches. I'll climb up here and find the clearing that we parked near. That way, we could just ignore the damn markers and go on the road. Happy? He snarled before grabbing the branch and beginning to climb. We watched him climb till about halfway up when the leaves began to obscure him. I could hear the branches rustling as he continued to climb.
Well?
Chris hollered.
I see the road!
Jake yelled back. We all let out a sigh of relief. This whole trip has been a bit of a nightmare, I commented. Chris and Luke both nodded. I waited to hear the crackling of the branches as Jake climbed down. They never came. We waited there at the bottom for what felt like an eternity.
Jake, buddy, you coming down from there?
Chris called. No answer. I frowned, trying to see through the thick canopy. Suddenly, I heard the sound of something hurtling through the branches. The crashing was fast, a free fall, as whatever it was collided with everything in its path. I jumped back in time to avoid being knocked over the head with whatever it was that had fallen. I looked down. A hiking boot laid sideways on the ground, its ties unlaced. I looked back up into the canopy. The wind blew a little harder, shuffling the leaves just enough for me to see higher up the tree. Jake was gone. I blinked once, twice, before turning back to the others. Chris and Luke both were staring at the shoe. Luke had Chris's arm in a vice grip, his breathing beginning to speed up in a telltale sign of panic. Chris looked back up.
Jake, where the hell are you? This isn't funny.
Still silent. We waited for 5 minutes, then 10. The only noise around us was the wind rustling through the leaves, and the sound of Luke getting more and more antsy. When 15 minutes had passed, I turned to Chris. Left or right? He looked at me startled.
What path, left or right? Dude, what are you talking about? We can't leave Jake.
Jake's gone. I don't know how or why he seems to think it's funny to leave us here, scaring us half to death. I took a deep breath. We gotta get back to our cars. Leave his pack there. When he wants to stop scaring the shit out of us, he could catch up. Chris paused for a long, tense moment before sighing.
Yeah, okay.
He looked over at the two paths in front of us. Look down the left and see if it looks familiar. I'll look down the right. I nodded and walked towards the left path. Chris and Luke began towards the right, looking down it to try to find some indication that it was the right path. I walked over to the first marker on the left. I couldn't understand why there were suddenly two paths. It didn't make any damn... I stilled. In front of me, a line of wet red had dripped down from the triangle. I watched it gleam wet in the setting sun. This marker was new. And now that I was closer to it, I could smell the tang of copper. My heart seized in my chest, and I quickly cut across the paths to Chris and Luke, who were discussing their trail. They turned to me as I approached.
I think this might be it. Both sides of the tree are marked the same way it was when we...
It's this one. The other... I sucked in a ragged breath. The other one's fresh.
Fresh? The hell you mean?
Chris started. I cut him off.
It wasn't paint. The red is wet. It's fresh.
Someone painted a new path with the same marker? That's so messed up. Why the hell would... Chris, it's not paint.
Luke, who had been watching the exchange, cut in.
What do you mean it's not paint? What else would it...
I could see the moment it clicked for him. Chris, too, tensed in realization.
Is this some kind of joke, you and Jake?
He asked, voice dangerously low. I whirled on him, almost hissing in rage. You think I'd plan something like this? With him, of all people? The bastard can't even look at me without a comment or how shit I am at everything. The only reason he even lowered himself enough to pass me an invite is because he knew the two of you would want me to come along.
And you think of what? Plan some scary haunted trail?
Even as I said it, I knew he didn't. Neither of them did. They both just wanted some rational explanation for all of this. I pushed past Chris to check the trail marker. I got close and checked it. My heart about stopped. It was wet. I turned back towards the clearing we were in before, charging across towards the markers we had been following. Wet. 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 All tinged with the coppery smell we had been marching by too quickly to notice. I turned back towards Chris and Luke and saw Chris was right behind me.
They're all wet?
He asked, wrinkling his nose as the smell hit him. We shared a glance, looking at the triangle nearest to us.
Now what?
I couldn't help but wonder. Here we were, in a rapidly darkening forest, lost without anyone who was even slightly familiar with the area.
I've got a compass in my pack,
Chris answered. He set his pack on the ground and rummaged through it for a while before triumphantly pulling out the instrument.
Jake had it on him when he went up that tree, but I have my own.
He pointed in a direction off to our right.
South is that way. We go that direction. We should get close to the road. As long as you and me and Luke stay close together, we'll be fine.
I nodded and turned towards where Luke was.
You hear that? We'll be fine. Just stick together and...
Luke was gone. Nausea slammed into me, turning my limbs into goo. Chris wildly looked around, calling for Luke. I grabbed onto his sleeve, terrified.
Chris,
I said, keeping my voice low. He stopped his frantic yelling and looked at me.
Chris, we need to get to the road and get back to our cars. Matt, we can't just leave Luke here. Jake knows this place, but Luke...
Chris, we get to the car and we go somewhere with signal and call the cops. They could come out here with dogs and search and rescue teams, but for right now, we have to go. I could see him internally fighting a battle, but in the end, he nodded. I kept a hold of his sleeve as he led us south. The woods finally got dark enough that I grabbed the flashlight with my free hand. Chris went to grab his too, but I stopped him.
I've got the light. You just keep leading us straight.
He didn't fight me. He just nodded and continued leading us. Finally, I could see something between the trees. The road. I could hear Chris give a little sigh of relief, and we both started walking a little faster.
Where's the other path go off to? Another part of the lake?
A voice called behind us. We stopped. Dread crawled up my spine as Luke's voice washed over me. Chris was about to turn and call when I let go of his arm and covered his mouth. He looked at me, angry, when the voice came again.
Jake, what way do we go?
I felt a whimper crawl up my throat.
I met Chris's eyes and jerked my head in the direction of the road. He nodded. We crept forward, taking care to keep our steps as light as possible. Behind us, sounding like he was wandering the forest, Luke's voice continued. The nausea increased tenfold as I realized it was just repetitions of things he had said earlier. The road ahead of us was clearer than ever, and as if heaven itself was lighting the way, it was lit in a soft golden glow. Chris broke free of my grasp and ran forward. The crunching of leaves and sticks beneath him caused the voice to stop, and suddenly, the sound of something barreling through the trees made its way to my ears. I sprinted after Chris, unwilling to turn and see what was behind us. We broke free from the tree line, scared to death. The noise behind us didn't slow down. "Run across the road! Run!" I called, not even slightly slowing. I vaguely noticed that the lights seemed to be getting brighter, but I ignored it in favor of sprinting harder. Chris cleared the road, and I was right behind him. I heard an odd noise, almost like brakes squealing. I spun around in time to see something big behind us get thrown forward across the road as a car slammed into it. My jaw dropped as everything seemed to come to a stop. The car was dented on the hood, and its driver stumbled out, confused. I didn't hesitate, neither did Chris. We ran up to her, urging her back into the car. I think she caught sight of what it was that she hit, because she just faintly told us to get in the back. We climbed in as she put the car in reverse and turned the car around. She started the car back towards town, and I couldn't help but stare out the back window. As the driver took a turn and the thing was going out of view, I saw it twitch and begin to rise up. The driver's name was Eve, and she was trying to head home from a work trip in another city. She had been passing through by pure happenstance and was grilling us on what the hell that thing was. A deer? An elk? A moose? It's awful far down south for moose, but damn if that sucker wasn't big. I just asked her to drop all of us off at the police station. She looked back at us confused, but said it was fine. I closed my eyes. When we got there, we told them the whole story. They obviously had some questions, and I knew they didn't believe us on multiple parts. They told us not to leave town, and that they'll have some more questions for us later. They took us up in the morning to get our cars. When we got to the spot that we had parked, the cops looked just as baffled as Chris and I had felt this whole trip. Every window of all four cars was shattered. The tires were slashed with great big gashes, and the trunks had been ripped open by force. Luke's car even had a door ripped off its hinges, the offending piece of metal bent out of shape a few yards away. The cops just took us home. They never found Jake or Luke. Chris and I still keep in touch every now and again. I think that trip put a strain on our friendship. Eve and I, meanwhile, got a whole lot closer. So close, in fact, she's right here beside me as I type this. I don't know what prompted me to recall this. Maybe some form of exposure therapy or a way to just get it off my chest? I'm not sure. All I know is that I'm never going camping again.